Throughout chapter 1 and 2 of Galatians, what we have already covered in our last four studies, the great apostle Paul has been strongly defending the divine origin of his apostolic calling and the gospel of grace he preached. Now, beginning with chapter 3 of Galatians, the apostle turns to the Galatians themselves and their own experience with regards to the initial response to the gospel message. Our study today, dear listener, will cover the first 9 verses of this chapter 3. And if you have your Bibles with you, please read with me these first 9 verses before we analyze what Paul is saying here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now you will notice that this passage we just read is divided into two parts. Verses 1 to 5 deals with the experience of the Galatian Christians by way of a series of questions, and then in verse 6 to 9, Paul is dealing with Abraham, since he is the father of all who believe, as our example, as our prototype, and how the gospel saves us individually. Well, with this introduction, let's look carefully at this passage and see what lessons we can draw out of this passage for us living today. Paul begins by a very strong statement, O foolish Galatians. Now that word foolish really means unthinking or idiotic, implying irrational behavior or stupidity. I'm convinced that if Paul was living today, he very likely would have said, you stupid or idiotic Galatians. Dear listener, any Christian who turns from the glorious gospel of salvation by grace alone and desires to be saved by his own or her own personal good works really deserves to be called fool, for that is pure stupidity. It's just like a farmer who gives up deliberately using his tractor to plow his farm, his land, and goes back to plowing his land by oxen. In fact, Paul feels that their behavior was so irrational that he wonders if someone had not cast a spell on them. Please notice what he says. Who has bewitched you? Or who has cast a spell on you? Now the word who here is in the singular, while the Judaizers who had caused the problem were really a group of people. Therefore, the implication is behind the Judaizers was the enemy of all souls, which is Satan. In fact, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, Paul tells them that just as the devil deceived Eve, he is afraid that he might use the same deceptiveness and deceive them. and bring to them another gospel that doesn't belong to the truth. You see, Paul is concerned that these Galatians had turned their backs to the one and only hope of salvation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so he's asking a question, or he's stating to them by a question, "Tell me, you who obeyed the truth, didn't you obey the fact that Jesus Christ was portrayed before you crucified?" In other words, the message that Paul had brought to the Galatians was Jesus Christ and Him crucified, man's only hope. This was at the very heart of Paul's message. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, Paul identifies the cross of Christ with the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. He says that this message is foolishness to those who do not believe, but to us who believe, the cross of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And then if you go to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians and the first two verses, Paul tells us that the main emphasis of his message when he came to Corinth was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. "I want to know nothing else among you when I came to you," Paul says, "except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Listener, this is the heart of the gospel message. Man's redemption is centered around the cross of Christ. And so Paul goes on to tell the Galatians, "Tell me," he says in verse 2 of Galatians 3, "I want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" Now here Paul describes the two fundamental methods of salvation. Now the phrase "works of the law" is a typical Pauline expression referring to legalism or salvation by my own good works or observing the law. You see, there was no Greek word in Paul's day equivalent to our English word legalism. So whenever you come across that phrase "works of the law," Paul is not against the law, but he is against anyone using the law as a method or as a means of salvation. When we come to chapter 5 of Galatians, we will discover that Paul does uphold the law as a standard of Christian living. But as a means of salvation, there is only one way you and I can make it to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But what Paul is saying in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Galatians is this: did you receive the Spirit by the observance of the law or using the law as a method of salvation, or did you receive the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, under the law requires you personally to obey it. You cannot receive any help from outside of you. The law demands you as an individual to obey it perfectly and continually if you want to be saved through the law. It is only under grace that God supplies us the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit is not to save us, since we are saved by the doing and dying of Christ, but the work of the Holy Spirit is to make real in our experience what is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. And the answer, of course, to this question is obvious. They received the Holy Spirit by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. The new birth experience does not come to the legalist. It comes only to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is why Jesus had to remind Nicodemus that all his performance could not save him. He had to be born from above. And that's in Rome, and John 3, verse 6. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You need Nicodemus to be born from above. Otherwise, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. And we are born from above only by faith in Jesus Christ. And now in verse 3 of Galatians 3, Paul reminds them, "Are you so foolish? How can you be so stupid that you, having begun in the Spirit, you began on the platform of justification by faith. You by faith entered under the umbrella of grace. And now, having had this wonderful experience of salvation by faith alone in the righteousness of Christ, you turn back to legalism. I mean, how stupid can you be, Paul says to the Galatians. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? What is Paul trying to get across here? Well, dear listener, what Paul is saying here is that the righteousness that you receive through faith in Jesus Christ is a perfect, is a complete righteousness. You can't add to it and you cannot improve on it. The moment you try to do that, Paul will tell us in Galatians 5 verse 4, you have fallen from grace. You see, it's either all of Christ's righteousness or none of it. The moment you try to improve your standing before God by your own performance, you are denying the perfect righteousness of Christ which qualifies you for heaven. Justification is by faith alone. That is what Paul is trying to get across in verse 3 of chapter 3 of Galatians. And then he reminds the Galatians in verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. You see, when the Galatians first accepted the gospel, they came under persecution. They were opposed by those who rejected the gospel. They were persecuted by the enemies of Jesus Christ. And they were willing to suffer because to them, the joy of salvation was greater than all the suffering that they were involved in through the persecution they came under. And so now Paul is reminding them, you suffered so greatly, you were willing to give up so much for this gospel. What has happened now? Why have you changed your mind? And then in verse 5 he says, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You see, these Judaizers, these Jewish Christians, had convinced the Galatians that salvation by faith alone is not enough, that they had to add to that their own performance. They had to be circumcised. They had to do good works, and they had to keep the law. And Paul is saying, tell me, were you accepted as a child of God? Were you justified by faith alone or by faith plus some other things that you added to your performance? And the answer is obvious, dear listener. Man is justified by faith alone. There is nothing you and I can add to our salvation. Thank God for that, because all our righteousness, Isaiah says in chapter 64 and verse 6, is like filthy rags. Why? Because it is polluted with self. The only righteousness that qualifies you and me for heaven is the righteousness of Christ. And that righteousness is made effective by faith alone, not by faith plus something else. Okay, having reminded them of their own personal experience when they first accepted the gospel, Paul now turns his attention to Abraham in verse 6 of Galatians 3. Why Abraham? Remember, the Judaizers were Jews. To them, Abraham was their father. And to the Jews, the father meant more than somebody who created or produced them, but somebody who is also their prototype, their example. And he's reminding these Galatian Christians who were Gentiles that even the father of the Jews, who happens also to be the father of all who believe, was saved by faith alone. Paul quotes Genesis 15:6, where we are told so clearly that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then in verse 7 he adds, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And then he quotes the scriptures, the Old Testament, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nation, not just the Jews, but the human race, the Gentiles included, by faith alone. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. I wonder if you remember what we covered when we dealt with Romans chapter 4. Let me refresh your memory. Please, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 4. Listen to what the great apostle Paul says about Abraham as the father of all who believe. I'm going to read chapter 4 of Romans and beginning with verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. In other words, the moment you add your own performance to your salvation, then you are denying that we are saved by grace alone. Verse 15 of Romans 4, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. In other words, the law doesn't save us, it condemns. It does the very opposite of what the gospel does. Because the law demands perfect obedience constantly from a person who is to be saved through the law. Therefore, Paul adds in verse 16 of Romans 4, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Then he defines what he means by all the seed, or all the descendants of Abraham. Not only to those who are of the law, that is the Jews, who are the physical descendants of Abraham, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And us all means all the believers, Jews and Gentiles. He brings this out in verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In what sense is Abraham our father? Well, listen to this. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations, so shall your descendants be. You see, the context in which Paul makes this statement is the birth of Isaac. God had promised Abraham a son when he was 75 years old. Abraham believed and was counted righteous. But God waited. God waited until it was impossible for Sarah to have a child the normal way. God waited almost 25 years. He waited until Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. He waited until it was impossible for Abraham himself to produce a child through Sarah, because she had now passed the age of childbearing. Now God comes to Abraham and says, do you believe that I can give you a child? And against hope, against all scientific evidence, against all human rationale, Abraham believed, because faith, my dear listener, is taking God at his word. Faith is not based on our feelings or our performance or what the scientific method tells us. Faith is based on the word of God. Faith is taking God at his word. And when God justifies a sinner through faith in Jesus Christ, the believer believes that he stands righteous in Christ, even though he may not feel righteous. And Paul is saying that is how Abraham was justified. He is the prototype of all believers. And therefore, Galatians, that is how you were justified. That is how you and I today, in the 20th century, will be justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And so Paul continues in Galatians 3, verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nation by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. You see, God promised Abraham that one of his children, and in chapter 4 of Galatians, Paul will define that seed singular as Christ. But Paul is saying to Abraham, one of your children will be the Messiah. And through him, not only the Jews, but the whole human race will be saved. And that salvation is made effective by faith alone. So then, those who are of faith those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. In fact, when we come to study verse 27 of 27, 28, 29 of chapter 3 of Galatians, we will discover that there is only one way God saved mankind. Whether you live in the Old Testament times or whether you live in New Testament times, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're educated or uneducated, there is only one way that mankind is saved. There is only one way you and I can be the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Let me read you that passage. We'll come to it later on in another study, but just listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 27 to 29. Let me add verse 26, because here Paul is giving a beautiful statement. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We are all sons of God. Yes, through the fall, we became the sons of the devil. But through grace, we have become sons of God. And that becomes a reality the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then Paul adds, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have become one with Christ through baptism. That is why Jesus in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, commissioned the disciples, go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And Paul is reminding the Christian that as many of us who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, we have become one with Christ. His life becomes our life. His death becomes our death. His burial becomes our burial, and his resurrection becomes our resurrection. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek in verse 28 of Galatians 3. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 29, I read these words. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. You see, the mistake that the Jews made is that they believed that the physical descendants or the literal descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob constitutes Israel or God's people. But Paul makes it clear, Romans 9 and here in Galatians 3, that it is those who have the faith of Abraham that makes us true Israelite. In fact, in Romans 9, he says, a true believer, a true Israelite is one who has the faith of Abraham, who has experienced the new birth as Isaac was born from above, and whose faith endures unto the end, like Jacob, when his name was changed from Jacob, the schemer, to Israel, the one who prevailed. And so what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying here, that the Galatians were absolutely foolish by turning from the pure gospel of grace alone to salvation by faith plus works. That is something you and I cannot do. There is no way that we can marry these two methods of salvation. It's either salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ, or salvation by your performance, by works, by keeping the law, by being circumcised. You cannot have one or the other. It's either one or the other. You cannot mix the two, in other words. And let me now, in concluding, give you four reasons why we cannot mix the two methods of salvation. Because the moment you do, you are in trouble. And I would like to give you four reasons why salvation is by grace alone. Number one, the gospel is good news only to those who have no confidence in themselves and are resting entirely in Jesus Christ. The moment you add your own works, you are no longer depending on Christ. You are depending partly on Christ and partly on yourself. And that is the problem of the Galatian Christians. That is the problem that you and I must avoid. Number two, the reason why so many Christians fall into this trap of I plus Christ is because they project human love to God. And human love is reciprocal. In other words, I love you only if you love me. And that is not the basis of our salvation. Our salvation is based on God's unconditional love. Number three, the flesh is proud. It is egocentric and therefore wants to make some contribution towards salvation. But my dear listener, we have to admit that we are spiritual beggars in order for us to be saved by grace alone. We cannot add our works. And final number four, mankind is by nature legalist. In other words, we are born with a nature that naturally wants to save ourselves through our performance. That is why the book of Galatians is crucial, because the problem of partly by grace and partly by works is a problem that did not only exist in Paul's day. It is a problem today among many Christians. And it is my prayer that you will realize that you cannot mix the two methods of salvation, that you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and nothing else. For Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And by the word truth, he meant himself. For verse 36 of John 8 says, "If the Son, S-O-N, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And it is my prayer that not only have you been set free in Jesus Christ, but that it is your determined purpose that nothing, no human being, no philosophy will ever sidetrack you from this wonderful truth of salvation by grace alone, which is made effective by faith in Jesus Christ. This is my prayer for each listener. In Jesus' name, Amen. Yeah, that boost, you know, what's that called?